Oh, it's good. Oh, we're recording.
So, I posted, "Hey, where's my glasses? Has anyone seen my glasses?" a few weeks ago. I was actually looking for my glasses, but then I found them the other day when I was cleaning my room, which was like really messy, and it was kind of like a reward when I picked up some old dirty bedding that I was washing, and I saw them there. It's like my glasses were looking up at me, like saying, like, "You found me." It was like hide and seek. It's like, "You found me, good job." So I guess, like, it was like you can be rewarded by doing chores. If you're a little kid that doesn't like doing chores, remember, you might find, if you clean your room, you might find your, like, Nacho Libre DVD or whatever.
The exact thing you're looking for.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful day in the Gulch. So where were your glasses?
They were, like, basically under, they were, like, under a blanket that had jammed up, like, under, like, the, between my bed and the wall.
Why were they there?
I think I went to sleep with them on, like, drunkenly.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and then they came off.
Yeah, and they just sort of, scurried away from me. And then, but I really did have that feeling of kind of like when you find a mushroom in the forest and it feels like it's like talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, "Hey." It's like, "Oh." I felt like, "Oh, you found me."
You had to wear your backup glasses.
Yeah, I had to wear like my backup glasses that were like they're like round.
Everybody likes those glasses on you.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is like everybody thinks I'm trying to look cool. I remember there was always like these memes and stuff about the guy with like the circular glasses being like promiscuous and fake smart and stuff. Very like 2016 type of memes.
They don't make memes about the guy with
round glasses?
With oval wire glasses, yeah. They don't make memes like that anymore. They really just don't make memes about...
They just don't really make memes anymore. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, not like that.
Not like that? Like, not like a starter pack?
Yeah.
Where it's just like...
They're not going to make fun of someone for how they dress anymore.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, I'm not sure if it's just like living in the Midwest where most people just don't care what you wear. But I wonder, is it like... are people just like less judgmental about like clothing?
No, they have other things to judge you about. Your like immutable characteristics, like your height or your how deep and chadly your voice is and stuff like that.
Are you on the incel forums reading them?
No, I'm not. I'm confronted with it just in normal internet usage. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
You are too.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I must be like a fashion thing or something where people are like mean to you if you don't dress cool. But outside of that, I don't know. You're saying people are more judgmental of physical characteristics?
Or that's what they're making memes about and stuff now, it seems like.
Hmm.
That's what it seems like to me, anyway. But hey, I'm no expert.
Yeah, you got your glasses from, like, Warby Parker or something?
These are Zenni Optical.
Oh, those are Zenni Optical?
Yeah. I kind of want some new glasses.
I like your glasses
a lot. I
kind of
want square glasses.
You want square glasses?
Or glasses that are more square. Not literally squares.
If they were, like, complete squares, that would be so funny. And if they were, like, really small...
Yeah, that would be like a pick me kind of glasses, I think. I think in like you have the normal round glasses, but I think in your head you still want some like Santa Claus, like tiny glasses.
Dude, there that guy in our Play-Doh reading group is like, he has them. Did you notice? He was like the young guy in the last reading group.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He looks exactly like, a young Play-Doh. And he has a little mustache, and I forget what his name is.
I remember what his name is.
And he has the smallest glasses I've ever seen. Maybe not ever, but like, he definitely has the smallest glasses in town.
In town? Even?
For sure. What do you think? You don't think his... His glasses are smaller than mine. Mine aren't really small, but...
Yours aren't small. Yours are pretty big.
They're pretty big?
Yeah.
How big would you say his are?
I wasn't paying attention, but now that you mention it, they're pretty small.
They're
like,
really small.
His, like, barely covers his eyes.
Like, when I saw him, I was jealous. I was like, how'd he do it?
You could ask him.
Yeah, I'll ask him next time, if he's there.
If you're there.
I'll be there.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Next week?
The next one. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going on tour.
I'm going on tour starting on, like, the 19th.
Oh, I thought you said the 16th.
Oh, no, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll ask him. Yeah, I'm going on tour with Rich Ruth.
And
the Main Squeeze.
Yeah, your Main Squeeze. Because you've toured with them before, right? Or you've done merch for them before?
Yeah, I did like two dates with them, like once, which, you know.
I mean, that makes
we went to
the
Atlanta
statement's true.
And that, Chattanooga.
There, that's a tour. Yeah, that's out of town. It's not South Bend and Chicago, so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I sold, like, they have a big following in Atlanta for some, you know. They have, like, a ton of fans in Atlanta. Not that many in Chattanooga, but a lot in Atlanta. I was surprised.
Well, now you'll see how many fans they have
in
other cities.
Yeah, I'm going with them. I'm going with Mikey, Rich Ruth.
Is Mikey playing? Is Mikey doing a Rich Ruth set?
Yeah.
He's like opening for the Main Squeeze.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's different music.
Yeah, but they're... Yeah, it's like an interesting mix, but they're like old friends, so it works out. I like that, like where it's like a different, like a wider range of sound on a bill, like different.
What would your ideal bill be?
Like a rapper and then like a reggae artist. I don't know, what would yours be? Like a...
Yeah, it'd be cool if there was like a really good rock band, really good... rapper, really good reggae artist, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Maybe a DJ.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a country singer.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a woman.
Yeah.
And a boy band.
Lucinda Williams and NSYNC.
Exactly.
And Yellow Man.
Yes, that'd be a great concert.
That would be a crazy lineup.
And Incubus.
And who's your rapper? Young Lean.
That could be good.
Yeah, and then after that, I'm gonna go with Busman's Holiday
for a few weeks. And you're gonna go on a Busman's Holiday.
Yeah, I'm going on a Busman's
Holiday.
I've
never understood what that phrase means.
But
You encounter, it's a phrase that they use. Like, it's a literary... some kind of, you know,
like it's a literary phrase.
Yeah, not literary phrase, it's the term for what it is escaping me. But it's,
I imagine it means,
it's like a thing you could use out of context and people would know what you're talking about.
Do you mind if I look it up?
I wouldn't mind that, because I'm curious myself.
All right. Because I'm about to spend a lot of time with these guys. Let's see.
So you better brush up
on the on the mythology.
Yeah. All right, check out their Bloomingpedia article.
Do they have one?
I bet.
Busman's holiday meaning. That reminds me of one time I looked up swanwash's meaning.
Yeah.
Because I just saw swanwash last night too.
You've been to like four shows in 1 week.
A vacation or form of recreation that involves doing the same thing one does at work. So I literally am going to be doing a busman's holiday because I'm like literally
their boxes of records.
I'm gonna be a merch guy, and I'm a merch guy every day in the warehouse. So I'm like literally going on a busman's holiday. That's crazy. I'm glad we looked that up.
Yeah, you can use that anecdote in every city that you're in.
All right, now I'm set. I'm good. Yeah. 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 Yeah, dude, I went and I saw, let's see, last night I saw Swanwash and Skull Cult and Liminal.
Mm-hmm. Who is Liminal?
Liminal is like this kind of like, I think they've only played two shows, and they're kind of like this, they're kind of a, just kind of like a wild kind of punk band.
Oh.
They're, you know, they're kind of pretty noisy, and they have funny lyrics. Good antics. And then, you know, Skull Cult is always good. Same kind of vibe. Funny. Antics.
Yeah. Are antics good?
I'm into antics.
Are you pro antics?
What do you think? Are you about antics?
I think I'm skeptical of antics.
You're anti-antic?
I might be. Yeah. I don't want to take a hard stance on antics, but...
You can't take a hard stance on antics.
If you take a hard stance on antics, you're just setting yourself up for antics to happen to you.
Oh, yeah. 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 Also, it's no fun if there's... It's no fun if there's no antics whatsoever. It's just a question of whether or not they're on stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess we need to establish the
I think I like engaging setting. In antics more yeah. than I'm entertained by antics.
So the stuff off the stage...
Are we doing antics right now? Are we up to our usual antics?
That's like something I realized like really early on is like that's like the main thing that I like.
And like period?
Like as far as in like art and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I would read like Guitar World magazine and stuff and I would like try and play the tabs and stuff, but I would never really learn anything.
Yeah.
But then I would be, like, glued to the articles about, like, the guys, like, getting drunk and, you know, like...
That's offstage antics.
That's offstage antics.
Offstage antics. I'm pro offstage antics.
But some of those are onstage antics, too. Like, I don't really have a good immediate thing that I'm to pull out of my head.
I think antics, I'm okay with antics, but you really have to justify it. You have to be really, really good at what you do
to also be
able to engage in antics.
Or else it just comes off as, you have to be really, 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 really good.
The antics have to support the art.
Or else it detracts.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, this guy just wants to get up here and just goof around.
Yeah. I reckon you saw some of that this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. In a different context.
Yeah, I was... this other show I went to was... Started out with Wyatt and Zach playing bass and drums, which was a classic brothers duo. And... But really, it was just like... It was just like watching them jam.
Yeah.
It was, I felt like I was sitting in their garage.
Yeah.
they hadn't really planned anything out. And I was like, I've seen this, like, I've known both of these guys for like 20 years. And I've seen them do this, like,
I think it's interesting, thousands though, of times. Because they're, like, drumming, like, separately. When I think of the way Wyatt drums and when I think of the way that Zach plays bass, mm-hmm. I feel like it's really different.
How so? Like, stylistically?
Like, stylistically, yeah.
Wyatt's style is more, like, kind of, like,
it's more, like aggressive and precise, I'd say.
I think when it comes together, it creates sort of this kind of funk rock experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You got, like, funk, and you got the rock, and you put them together.
You put them together. Pretty much. You sums got it like up. The funk rock raga going on. Yeah, yeah. Like, Zach's interests, Zach's like influences are like you know, like Primus and the Residents and stuff.
Yeah.
And Wyatt's influences are just all over the place. I never know, like, what he's into. So, but it kind of comes together into this kind of, like, we were in this, like, funk rock band called the Your Uncle's Big Jungle, yeah. And they played, like, one of those songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the end, they played, like, one of those songs for... That song's, like, 20 years old, too.
20 years old, too? What do you mean?
Well, I said I had known them for, like, 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not that old.
I was almost gonna say it's probably 20 years old. But not quite.
Hmm.
But almost. 17 years might as well be 20 years, if you're trying to make a point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'd round that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, I saw, like, this guy that was in this, like, purple suit. Like, this purple bodysuit, and all he did was play bass.
Yeah.
And sing.
I saw someone on the flyer, it was called, like, Local Spoken Word. Or, that's not what it was called, but that's what the genre attached to it was.
I apparently missed that.
Oh.
Because I saw the guy in the purple suit, and he really just, like, was just shredding on bass in this, like, purple bodysuit and this, like, floppy, this sort of, like, floppy magician hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, having the audience chant stuff, like, connect to the human speaker. Or something like that. And it was, like, pretty cool. It was called Satan's God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, that was cool. I'm going to leave now. And the thing before that was actually pretty cool, too. It was this guy from St. Louis that was, like, I kind of thought he looked like an alternate universe Brace Belden. In, like, he just had, like, this kind of, like, old-timey vibe or something. And he was talking about unions and MK Ultra and stuff. And he was, like, burning all this incense in this bowl. And, like, it was like he was doing voodoo or something. And all these sparks were flying out of the bowl, like, just all, like, onto the floor of the orbit room. And it was, like, I was, like, there's a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned that the sprinklers were going to come on or something like that. But then I was like, well, maybe they don't have sprinklers. Because it was a lot of smoke. And, you know, like, I don't know. It was, like, pretty entertaining. But, yeah, that show is, like, complete antics.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Which can be okay. I think there's a time and place for antics. I think if you get what... I don't know. I think you get what you sign up for when you're signing up for antics.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, like, not going to, like, really necessarily, like, ever listen to any of those bands again.
When you go to an antic-forward show, you're not coming home with a...
Not coming home with a cassette.
You're not.
But I will always remember that I will always remember both of those guys.
Yeah.
Maybe not always, but probably for a while.
It'll come, it'll pop up in your head. You'll be, yeah.
I'll be like, whoa, remember that weird guy? It'll pop up when I'm like in St. Louis and see him walking down the street or something. Or like,
when you see a guy in a purple suit walk down the street?
No, or when you're just like, when you're just like at a show like way later and you see a random guy that you saw at a show like,
yeah,
7 years before and you
will
forgot
you say hi?
Him. No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
7 years is too long for a hi.
Well, I don't, yeah.
Unless you really know someone.
No, I would say hi after 7 years, but I just, not to that guy.
What if he's listening to this right now?
Well, good job. I'm going to remember your performance forever. It was very entertaining. But we did not get to actually meet each other. So, it would be weird if I said hi.
Fair. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, should we touch on... Should we give a general scene report?
Yeah.
We gotta hash out the scene.
What's going on with the scene? I've been seeing so much things. I've been seeing...
I know. You need to take your glasses... You need to lose your glasses again.
I need to lose
again,
my glasses.
Because you've seen... You've seen far too much of this scene.
Yeah, dude, I went... On Friday I went to the Bishop and I saw MS Paint and Pat and the mm-hmm. pizzas.
Yeah. So I think the problem with the scene right now is just, you know, the turf wars that keep happening.
You think there's what elaborate?
Well, you got the rockabillies on one side, you got the psychobillies on another side. You've got the horror cores on a third side.
Hmm.
And then you've got the non-horror juggalos
mm-hmm.
on the fourth side.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of... They're so fractured when if they could only put together... It's like that narcissism of small differences thing.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Like if they just
combine...
Well,
what does that mean?
It's just like when you're really... When you really like somebody, the things about them that you don't like, you over-exaggerate in your head as a defense mechanism so you can feel more like an individual.
So you're like, I'm not like that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
So, you know, the normal style juggalos don't like how the horrorcore juggalos are all... They're like, oh, those guys are so corny because they're so obsessed with cartoonish violence. And we just like the Dark Carnival and stuff.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then mm-hmm. then it's like the rockabillies and the psychobillies. Like, psychobillies think the rockabillies are a bunch of squares. But the rockabillies think the psychobillies are a bunch of new jacks.
And the psychobillies are like not taking it seriously.
Exactly.
Missing the point.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of having cool cherry red cars, the psychobillies have these souped up Dracula style cars. Mm-hmm. You've seen them around.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to not be able to differentiate.
Yeah.
But after all of the work I put into the scene recently, I'm now able to differentiate psychobilly from rockabilly, juggalo from horrorcore.
Yeah.
And you know,
and all the rest
that sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. What's another faction? Or
well, you got the the Power Poppers.
Oh yeah.
And the 77 Punks.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't be more alike, and couldn't be more different. It's a damn shame.
Yeah, I prefer the Power Poppers.
I prefer the 77 Punks.
Oh, no.
And then there's this the zine scene.
Yeah, the zine scene.
The zines just keep pumping them out. They keep pumping out the zines.
Yeah, I was reading the zine the other day in the down in the Orbit room, and it was just... I was just like, this is a really interesting piece of literature. I'm probably the only person reading this right now.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
I felt very hip.
What was the zine about?
I think acid. I think doing LSD or something.
Yeah.
Hard to know.
Because it's so dark in there, it's hard to read.
And I was just looking at the pictures. And I was just looking at the pictures, man.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well, you know, a lot of those Xerox pages, they're like, they're kind of like too dark.
Yeah.
To really see what's on the page, it's like, just looks like a bunch of gray stuff to me.
Yeah. They should improve Xerox technology.
Yeah. Yeah, they should make it like so that like it's like in color.
Yeah. They should make it like a picture perfect copy.
Yeah. All these like punk flyers are really hard to read because they're like they're all like in black and white, and they're made like on a photocopier in a high school.
Yeah.
I have trouble reading them. And yeah, so that like punk zine that I was reading down in the Orbit Room, it was really thick. It was like 20 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
Full sheets of paper.
Yeah.
But then I was at this other show and I was reading a zine, and it was just one sheet of paper.
Yeah.
No folds, nothing. It was just one sheet of paper.
You got it. If I was the guy writing a 20 page zine,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a guy with a one page zine, I'd be furious.
You'd be mad at the one page
guy? Absolutely. Or maybe I'd be mad at myself, but I'd be mad. I'd be thinking, I put all this work into this 20 page zine. This whole time I could just be writing one page zines and everyone would still think I'm cool.
Everyone would put it in the trash.
I could do 5% of the work.
Yeah. No, I like a nice one-page zine, actually.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit less pressure.
It's instantly forgettable. You don't even have to pretend that you're going to read it later.
It's nice to have something to flip through.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, like, the one page has its charm. I don't know. Are these guys at war with each other in the zine?
It's vicious. Yeah. People are leaving with paper cuts all over the all over the place.
I'd like to make a zine that's, like, so small. It would be, like, one sheet of paper, but it would be, like, the size of, like, a post-it note.
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, wait. Is that a handbill?
I'd make a zine that's so small it's like the little annotation post-it notes that good students use.
And they put them in a book?
Yeah. And it's just like a strip. But I would turn it into a zine. I'd make it about direct action and Earth liberation.
You could write direct action on one side of the strip and Earth liberation on the other side of the strip.
Yeah, it has
just those words.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I'd charge $2 a pop for people to have it.
I would just give it away for free. That's another thing. Another.
I know. That's another division that's happening. The scene is too divided. Yeah, you know, all these zine writers, we got to unite the right.
Unite the writers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there should be a zine where instead of paper, it's on your phone. And then... And it's on social media, and then I can just unfollow the person if they're annoying, instead of reading their one-page zine about how shiny their rockabilly shoes are at the rockabilly show.
I like Seeing this rockabilly shiny, with really shiny shoes.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's good too. I think it's like, if you're a rockabilly, you should dress like a rockabilly. And shiny shoes are definitely a part of the uniform. Then I actually, I ran into one of my crunkcore revival friends.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of drama in that scene too.
What's going on with the in that scene with the crunkcore?
Well, I got this one friend, he's pretty much in a he's trying to put together a 303 cover band for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And he just can't find any real crunkcore musicians to do it with.
He's the only one?
He's the only real crunkcore musician.
All the crunkcore
everybody else rejects. Everybody else is easycore, scenecore, neon, pop punk. You know, there's just no true crunkcores anymore.
Yeah, a lot of the crunkcore new jack guys are, you know, like, they don't really understand the true kind of...
Ever since COVID, you got all these guys who think just because they have a... They can go use Wayback Machine to look at MySpace in 2007, they think they really know crunkcore, but they don't really know crunkcore like that.
Yeah.
They only like crunkcore because it's popular.
Yeah. I was around for that stuff, but I never really understood it. Didn't really speak to me, but I've always been around crunkcore. I can get down, you know.
Yeah.
Have some fun. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, that if your friend can't find it, if your friend can't find any real ones to be in his 303 cover band, then you might just have to get some new jacks. It wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it'd be a good thing if he just didn't have the band. I don't really think anyone's clamoring for a 303 cover band.
Yeah. What was the other? What was the other crunkcore? What was the one that was like really?
Cobra Starship.
I don't think. What was like the really like? One of the really famous like the early ones that was like really, really ridiculous. Or.
I don't know. What about Millionaires? You remember them?
Yeah, I remember them. Aaron went on tour with them when he was a teenager.
Whoa.
I think. When he was like 15 or 16 or something. I really like that song Shake It by Metro Station.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Is that kind of like in that world?
That's like it's not crunkcore for sure. My crunkcore friend would be furious if we called "Shake It" by Metro Station crunkcore. But that is a good song.
I think someone needs to start a reggae band in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm. And they need to make original music, not covers.
Yeah.
I saw evidence of a reggae band in Bloomington. This is not a bit. I saw WFHB posted an Instagram story of a reggae band playing at the Orbit Room.
So, was it young guys or young people?
No.
Or was it old people?
It was middle-aged men who were older than us.
I gotta see this band. I was in, like, I was in Franklin. I don't know if I told you about that.
I haven't heard. No, you, I don't think you really told me about this experience.
I went to Franklin to, like, the, it was like the, it was like World Community Fest or something like that. And, like, so there was, like, Japanese dancers.
Mm-hmm. Like kabuki? Like, what kind of Japanese dancers?
It wasn't kabuki. It was just, like...
Is it that Taito drumming or whatever?
I'm not exactly... I'm not, I don't really... I'm fairly new to the scene, so...
Yeah, the international scene?
Yeah, so, like, it was... I'm not sure the exactly the type, but it wasn't... But, like, it was, like, little kids and their parents all dressed in red dancing mm-hmm. to, like, this... It was beautiful. It was great. And I was like, this is weird. I'm in Franklin watching this. And... that was cool. But then after that, they had this thing called just Steel Drum. That's like what the band was called, Steel Drum. And they were like playing like Under the Sea and like Stir It Up and like Jimmy Buffett songs and stuff. Yeah. And they were just playing these these tracks. And it was just like two guys with steel drums playing along with these... You know, just these tracks of these songs playing with them. And there's a guy playing live bass. And they were reading the lyrics. They didn't really know the lyrics to the song and stuff. One of the guys was clearly, clearly drunk. Like, and he was one of the, like, one of the guys was pretty good at the steel drum. And the drunk guy was, like, clearly, like, the leader of the band. And, like... It felt like if I were, like, a Caribbean, a person from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I saw that at the cultural day.
Yeah.
I would be have been very offended. It was so funny. But, like, yeah, when I think of, like, a reggae band in, like, Indiana or something like that, like, it's always been a cover band and something, like... Something like that.
We kind of saw a like a reggae fusion band.
Oh yeah, I forgot we did.
And like, they were Latin Caribbean reggae fusion.
Yeah, they were from Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I can't remember what they were called.
They were pretty good.
Yeah, I remember I liked them. That might be like the only reggae band that I've seen that in Indiana that was like played original songs, I think.
I saw you, it looked like you ate some really nasty chicken at that thing.
When?
At that International Fest. You texted me a picture of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went to this, like, I ordered, like, the... It was easily the worst Chinese food I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
It was just, like, chicken nuggets with, like, soy sauce poured on them. It was... I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because I don't want to...
You don't want to offend anybody.
I don't want to offend them, but, like, it was literally, like... It was, like, worse than school lunch.
Yeah.
It was, like, I cannot believe I paid, like, $8 for this. It was, like, chicken nuggets on rice. And it was cold. And the sauce they used was, like... Not what I was expecting, I think. Like, it was, like... I was, like, this is, like... Feels like maybe something you'd eat in jail.
How'd you guys find out about that fest?
Well, Esther wanted to go to, like, a fall festival or something like that.
So you guys looked up fall festival?
It was still... It was still summertime.
Yeah.
It was, like, in September still.
Right. But so September's like, a pretty we'll September's like a pretty good time for a fall festival.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. But it wasn't to the point like right now, like there's like this fest in Louisville that has all the pumpkins, like 10,000 pumpkin jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah. Oh, there's a you know? We should check out the Bloomington pumpkin launch if you're going to be in town for that.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Wait, what is that?
Well, what do you think it is?
They're going to catapult a pumpkin?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I totally want to go to that. But I was just saying, like, now if you're going to have any type of street fest, there's no way around it. It's a Halloween or harvest fest, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like the sweet spot
in September,
for non-holiday fall is so slim.
Yeah, it's like a week or two period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Halloween's over, you got Thanksgiving to contend with.
I lump them together. I lump those two together.
That could be confusing.
Hollow-wanksgiving.
You show up to Thanksgiving and your Dracula teeth.
Yeah, we call it Hollow-wanksgiving.
That's a little clumsy, I think.
It sounds like something that a juggalo would celebrate.
Yeah, it has like everything. It has everything a juggalo needs in one word. Scary Halloween.
Yeah.
Potty humor.
Yeah.
And giving, because it's like family.
Yeah. Now that's the type of holiday I want to see in the scene.
I'm going to text my juggalo group chat that, and then I'm going to text my horrorcore juggalo group chat that, and see what they say. I'm the only guy that's in both group chats.
I'm actually going to text the Psycho Billies about it and see what they say.
They might... I could see them kind of like
they'd rock with
you. Yeah. The Rockabillys, I don't think so. I think they want just normal Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. They like tradition.
I tell you what. The Rockabillys get really hard to differentiate from the Psychobillys on Halloween.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We should have a Halloween party for the Rockabillys and the Psychobillys and the Juggalos and the Horrorcore Juggalos. And then see if they can actually tell each other apart when they're all dolled up in their Halloween costumes.
That's a beautiful thing about Halloween. Yeah, it's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
You can... Everyone is... It's kind of like the Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can have a hot girlfriend because he was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what you look
like. And half of his face was hot.
You think it was because half of his
face was hot? Wasn't he only wearing half a mask?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I wouldn't say half. It was kind of like a third of his face.
Yeah. If like 66% of your face is hot, the chances are the other 33% is pretty good. With or without the mask,
he felt like he had to cover it.
Yeah.
And it worked for him. And, well, actually, it didn't.
Until it didn't.
It didn't, yeah. Yeah,
I don't.
When you're batting out of your league, you know, you can only hang on for so long.
And you know, I really don't know much about that's the story of the Phantom of the Opera.
I just know
the gist.
It's confusing because there's a bunch of different movies and they're all different.
Yeah,
and sometimes people are singing.
I was going to say it's a musical, right?
Well, there's a Phantom of the Opera with no singing.
But it's not an opera.
But it's called Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
So like, you'd think that the guy would sing.
I'd think that.
But it's a silent movie, even. There's not even music in it.
It's silent, silent?
Yeah, it's like one of the first horror films ever made.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect the 1918 version of Phantom of the Opera to have singing, to be honest. But maybe the, like, 1993 version or whatever it is.
2003.
I'm sure there's a 2000s and 90s and probably an 80s, 70s made for TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of different versions and variations, and I don't know what the accurate storyline is, but the vibe I get is the mask is sort of a great equalizer that covers his hideous face, which is what's great about Halloween is everyone can do it, and everyone can be their own different, beautiful person and hide. Everyone gets to be somebody different.
But also, there's a little bit of themselves in it.
Yeah.
All right, so check this out. The Phantom of the Opera was a book. Did you know that? It was a 1910 novel.
I knew that.
Oh, you did?
No, I didn't know it.
It's been adapted in a 1916 Swedish film, which is now lost.
Oh, that's convenient.
It was adapted into a 1925 film called The Phantom of the Opera, which was silent.
That's probably the one I was thinking of.
I'm only going to talk about the English language adaptions from here on out.
Well, also, the guy isn't even wearing a mask in that. You just see his face, and he just has, like, a goofy face. Like, he looks like the mayor of Nightmare Before Christmas Land.
There's a 1943 Phantom of the Opera, 1962 Phantom of the Opera. ...1989 Phantom of the Opera, a rather sadistic and gory version of the story, though in this respect it resembles the original novel more than some more romantic versions. There's a Faustian motif throughout, and the film features extracts from Gounod's opera Faust, as in the original novel.
What's so Faustian about him?
I don't know. Really, he plays God. He's wicked smart. Like, what's he do? In this version, the Phantom was a handsome young man who sold his soul to the devil in return for being loved for his music.
Oh, okay.
That's the Faustian That's the part.
Faustian part.
And then, yes, a 2004 Phantom of the Opera, directed by Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher sounds like a Mennonite guy. Sounds like a guy that would be from Goshen.
Like a guy that would make shoes?
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah. Like a cobbler in Germany or something. Or like a guy from Goshen, Indiana. Or maybe Pennsylvania. Joel Schumacher.
Cover band Me First and the Gimme Gimmes recorded a punk rock version of the title track from Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical in their 1999...
Music of the Night? It's a title track.
They recorded... Let's see, the track listing.
Dude, the Andrew Lloyd Webber version has some slappers on it, man. Like Music of the Night?
Yeah.
Or Masquerade? My girlfriend in high school, her dad would always sing this version of Masquerade. And the real version goes, Masquerade, paper faces on parade, Masquerade, hide your face so the world will never find you. And he'd always say, Masquerade, you're so ugly, it's a shame. Masquerade yourself, please. And I always thought that was amazing, like Weird Al type mastery of the song.
Do you think Weird Al like labors over his lyrics, or do you think they just come to him?
I think he labors.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to Blowfly today.
Yeah.
And, like, have you ever listened to Blowfly?
No, but I get the gist of Blowfly.
That guy wings it.
Yeah.
He's been doing parodies since, like, late 60s, early 70s. Like,
Nardwar always recommends Blowfly to people.
Dude, I gotta say, it's very offensive, but it is, like, he's definitely, like, not putting too much thought into his parodies.
Yeah.
And it makes them funnier.
Right.
Because it makes them, like... It makes them funnier because it's, like... This guy just has this, like, one-track mind. And it's kind of, like... The sort of repetition of certain themes.
Yeah.
Just throughout decades. Is just really funny. I don't know. You know what I mean? Kind of like when I always asked the UPS guy if he saw a UFO, like, mm-hmm. every day for like 3 years, like that only gets funnier to me, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. It just takes like obsession.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I think like Weird Al has a lot of really funny songs, but he's not as funny as Blowfly.
Yeah, and I feel like Weird Al's like, I feel like it's not that his songs are funny, it's that he puts little jokes into the lyrics, you know? Like there's like setups and punchlines, or it's all punchlines maybe.
He definitely is a lot more.
It's more labored over.
Yeah. And like I don't think it's bad.
But it's just a different ball game. It's just a
different style of parody. He's got a different style of parody singing. That's all I'm saying.
Are you more of a blow? I feel like maybe you're more of a Blowfly, and I'm more of a Weird Al when it comes to.
To your artistic,
yeah,
yeah, you're more detail oriented, and you like things to be more thought out, and I'm more painterly, and you know,
yeah.
Yeah.